This is Let's Keep It Real with Sandy Joy Weston, your weekly dose of positivity with awesome stories and guests from all over the world. It's an opportunity to learn some great new things and expand your mind. We'll tackle topics from all areas of life, and as always with Sandy, the sky's the limit.
Hello, hello, my Let's Keep It Real people. By the way, thank you for your support. Hey, you guys have really upped your game and supporting me on my TEDx. What up with that? Sharing it. Thank you. Means a lot to me. I know I tell you this all the time, but I love you guys. I really do. And if you have any ideas or show guests or you want to be on the show, you know, just hit me up. Let me know. But before we get into any more of that, I want to tell you about my next guest. You ready? Simone Wright. Simone is an internationally respected authority on intuition. You all have it. Evolutionary creativity and entrepreneurship. She started her first business at the age of 9 and has used her understanding of intuition, creativity, and entrepreneurial focus to build a globally respected coaching and education business and to become internationally. And to become, I should get my son who's going to art school, to become an internationally collected artist who has become the highest selling artist of her kind of in the world. Simone developed her intuition, street cred, by using her skills to successfully assist law enforcement in missing children's cases and other criminal investigations. I have so many questions. Her groundbreaking intuition training program and book, First Intelligence, have helped people from all walks of life, including established and emerging entrepreneurs, multi-million dollar CEOs, and every level in between. Don't you worry. Woo, this is a lot of stuff. What direction are we going to go into? Anyhow, develop profound intuitive clarity and vision to help them expand their businesses in ways that are in alignment with the individual, not the crowd. She helps people set the trends in their life and in business, not follow them. We love that. Welcome, Simone.
Thanks, Sandy. Yeah, that's a bit of a mouthful. I'm a little all over the place there, but.
No, I love it. I have so many questions. I'm like, wait a minute, let's start there. We'll get to a lot of it, and we have questions for my peeps. So before we get into any of it, you get to pick one word. What's your word for the month? The past 30 days, whatever pops into your head, and then why'd you pick that word?
Freedom. Freedom. George Michael in his cute blue jeans.
I always freedom. Think, okay, I've heard every word people pick, and then I'm like, ooh, we haven't had that. All right. I'm putting freedom. Why freedom?
Because freedom to choose is our, you know, divine human right. Freedom to act is an essential tool. Freedom to decide how you're going to show up in any given moment, whether it's sunny in Philadelphia or cloudy in Hermosa Beach. You know, how we all have freedom. And that for me is really important. I get to decide. I'm completely free how I'm going to show up in any given moment. And for me, not only this month, but this year for me has been that theme, freedom. And, freedom to create how I want, freedom to to serve how I want, freedom to dress how I want. It's so important. We've all been pretty much constrained in some pretty big boxes most of our lives. And so for me, freedom is the ability to tear those boxes apart. So that's really what I'm focusing on a lot right now. It's not always easy because I'm breaking a lot of patterns, but that's my, I'm building a muscle. The freedom position requires some metaphysical fitness that we have to be able to build and develop. Ultimately, once you've got that freedom thing mastered, you can do anything. So that's what I'm focusing on. That's my word. And I'm sticking to it.
Everybody would love that word. So I mean, who doesn't want freedom, right?
Yeah.
I love that. And it's funny because I don't know. I know in a very, very long time, no one's picked that word, but absolutely, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
It encompasses so much.
It does.
I want to dive right into your first tip, because I did get a lot of questions around intuition. And I know you've heard it all, like, that person has great intuition. Oh no, I don't have any intuition. You know, I wish I had more. I think you're born with it. You know, you hear it all over the place.
Mm-hmm. And
for me, I believe it's like any other skill. You can develop it.
For sure. Absolutely.
So we build our intuition on what I call an intuition triad rooted in peace, precision, and perception. When you understand and master these, your intuition will be unstoppable. So I want to break this down because I think this will really be the basis moving forward for not just this episode, but for my audience to understand what it really means to have intuition and how they can build upon it.
Absolutely. Well, first of all, you said it, and I agree. We all have it. Everybody has intuition. At its most fundamental, intuition is a survival skill. Keeps you alive in the skin suit. Lets you know safe, unsafe, wise, unwise, life affirming, life negating. It's a survival tool at its most fundamental. But at its most evolved, it's an evolutionary intelligence. It helps you tap into innovation, freedom. It helps you cultivate new ideas. It helps you set trends in life instead of following old data. So fundamentally, survival. Evolutionarily, thrival. So survive, thrive. And there's levels of that in between, right? And the idea, when I'm training people how to develop their intuition, you said it spot on. You have to develop it. It's like learning to speak a language. But it's our first language. It's our first intelligence. It's the intelligence we have before we know anything. We're born with it before we're trained, before we're taught, before we're conditioned, before we're cultured, before we're indoctrinated in any kind of knowledge, data. And so it's what is revealed when all of the schmutz is peeled away. So let's get to the triad. What I like to do when I teach people is I like to keep things simple. So
I'm good with that. I'm good with this.
So, you know, we've all heard the keep the KISS, keep it simple, stupid. But I say keep intuition simple, sweetheart. KISS, keep it simple, sweetheart. Yeah. Keep it simple, sweetheart. Okay, so the intuition triad is based on peace, precision, and perception. When I developed the intuition training program for law enforcement, I had to root it in science. You can't go into a room full of police detectives waving crystals around or calling on spirit guides. Now, don't get me wrong. If that's your wheelhouse, fine. I'm not saying don't use that, but you can't use that in a court of law. Can you imagine walking into court? Your Honor, just let me get my crystals out and I'll be sure to tell you, you know, what happened. You can't do that. So I had to be able to root the intuitive process in science and the biology of what goes on when it's working, when I'm bringing kids home, when I'm helping with cold cases, when I'm helping my entrepreneurs, what's happening, what's going on. And in order to be able to do that, I had to be able to reverse engineer the process in a way that I could explain it to a room full of 22 police detectives so they wouldn't kick me out of the room or arrest me.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah.
Right. So what I did was I reverse engineered the process into the science of it and the spirit of it. So the nice, beautiful hybrid. So the triad that we build it on, imagine an equilateral triangle. If you guys, I mean, I know Sandy said most of you guys listen to this, but if you got a pen and paper in front of you, draw an equilateral triangle. And if not, just imagine it in your head. That's just as important. On the bottom of the triad, the foundation of the triangle is peace. Peace. Now, the scientific word for peace is coherence.
Gotcha.
And the coherence is rooted in the heart. You can't access your intuition if you're stressed out, if you're afraid, if you're freaked out. You can't do it. It's like having static on the line of a radio, and you're a receiver. So peace is the essential foundation, coherence. The spiritual word would be peace. The scientific word would be coherence. And how you do that is you focus on the energy around your heart, and which is one of your biological intuition centers. And the heart is also the most powerful electromagnetic organ we have in the body, stronger than the brain by substantial amounts, has a very powerful electromagnetic field that shapes order in the body, shapes harmony, shapes peace. Think of the peace idea as clearing the static off of your intuitive GPS. And, you know, a lot of us have meditation practices. A lot of us have mindful practices. Super simply, all you need to do is focus on your heart and breathe. It's really basic. It's not complicated at all. Yeah. Keep it simple, sweetheart. Right?
Yeah.
The second P is precision. So what I hear oftentimes, not only in the spiritual community and less in the business community, I have to say, is that we have to be able to shape really strong targets. So when I'm looking for a missing kid and I have no facts about anything other than the kid is missing, my target, my precision in that conversation is the kid is home. That's my target. The kid is home. Not the kid is missing, not where's the kid, not, oh my God, what, right?
Yeah.
The precision is the kid is home. So we have to be able to establish really strong and precise targets. So if you're an entrepreneur, for example, you say, let's just say you want to do $1 million in sales in a year. That's a good target, right? It's a very strong target. So your precision in that context is $1 million. That's my target. $1 million a year is even more precise, right? When you're playing entrepreneurially, we shape a second triad as it relates to our precision. Time. So you give yourself time. Ideas. What is your business? What are you selling? What are you promoting? What are you, you know, what are your ideas? And money. So when you're entrepreneuring and you're shaping precision, you have to have a strong target. And those targets for entrepreneurs are rooted in those three: time, ideas, and money. And if you're not precise about that, your intuition will be fluffy. It'll sort of lead you around in a soft way. And then the third P of that is perception. Mm-hmm. What do you start to sense? What do you start to feel? What are the ideas that you start to become aware of? What are the nudges you start to get? What are the dreams you start to have? What do you start to perceive in the environment around you? What are the conversations you overhear? What happens for a lot of my clients is they'll wake up in the morning with a song in their head.
Oh.
Like, you know, from when they were kids, but there's a meaningful message in the first two lines of the song that are just spot on to what they need for what they're working on. And so what do you start to perceive? So perception is, you know, what you notice in the environment, what does it mean to you? And what action does it inspire you to take? Those are the three levels of perception. And so the three levels of perception, what do you notice? What does it mean to you? And what actions does it inspire you to take? So when you start to build your intuitive foundation on peace, precision, and perception.
Yeah.
And the other triads that sort of extend out of that, you start to become like a laser beam. So most people's intuitive focus is very diluted, like a light bulb in a living room. You can light the living room, but it's not going to get you much further than that. When you start to shape these really powerful targets, precise targets, you become like a laser beam. So, and here's a little bit of sciencey stuff for you guys. It requires the same amount of energy for a light bulb to light your living room when it's an incoherent, unpeaceful signal as it does for a laser beam to go from the earth to the moon and back. Exact same amount of energy. One signal is incoherent, the one in your living room, and one signal is coherent, the one in the laser beam. And so when I'm using my intuition to assist my entrepreneurs, when I'm training my entrepreneurs, or when I'm with the cops helping them find stuff,
yeah,
I'm a laser beam. And then all of the information, I'm getting goose pimples as I talk about this, all of the information is that we need is carried in the energetic field around us. And then we're like a radio receiver. And it starts to come in through our perception. And that's how we use our intuition. Simple.
Simple. Okay.
You know, I always say it's like, it's simple yet complicated, meaning yes. that it's not that difficult, but just like everything else. And I'm a big component of that. The daily practices you do every day to build yes. healthy habits in anything.
Anything. You
know, it's not complicated. It's not time consuming, but it's building upon it every single day. So I do want to break this down. And I want to start out with, because the biggest question I had from my peeps, they want your definition of intuition.
Well, again, I said it at the beginning, at its most fundamental, it's a survival skill for me. Yes, no, right, wrong, good, bad, good guy, bad guy, beneficial, douchebag, you know, which one? For me, it's survival. But, and it is the voice of not only our biological skin suit, which has 100 trillion intuitive cells in it, but it's also the voice of our higher self. It's the voice of our soul. It's the voice of our divine impulse. It's, you know, I don't want to get too otherworldly, but it's, you know, it's the voice of God. It's yes. that aspect of ourselves within ourselves. And it's wanting you to thrive. But if in the moment you're in a bit of a crisis and you're on your knees, it'll help you survive at first. So for me, it's the voice of your higher self. For me, it's the voice of your soul guiding you to your highest and best outcome. And it's not.
Yeah. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
I was going to say, it's not supernatural. It's not paranormal. It's not voodoo. It's not woo. Everybody's got it. I'm not special.
Yeah. I love the way that you said when you went in to the police officers, you couldn't go in and start out with that. You know, you had to give it the logic, the scientific basis. This is how it is.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. And what was really cool, because when I went into the room full of the cops, you know, it's a pretty skeptical environment, you know, yeah. but I asked them, I said, how many of you guys and gals have been on a case on a street doing your job, and you just knew something wasn't right, something wasn't safe, something wasn't accurate, something was off. You just knew it, but you didn't know how you knew it. And every hand in the room went up. And so I said to them, okay, look around the room. I'm not here to try to prove to you something that doesn't exist. You've all validated that you've noticed it. What I'm here to do is here to help you quantify it. I'm here to help you refine it. I'm here to help you direct it. And I'm here to help you focus it at will. If that sounds like something that would appeal to you so that it's not hit or miss, then stick with me for the next 3 days. And that's what we did. So this is why it's so important to recognize that everybody has it. And if you can just sort of accept that, I always say, is there anybody I'm talking to, Sandy, is there anybody in your audience that doesn't have a brain?
Yeah.
Is there anybody in your audience that doesn't have a heart? Is there anybody in your audience that doesn't have a gut? Is yeah. there anybody in your audience that doesn't have skin on their skin suit? No. Right. So unless you're really special and you're functioning here on earth without one of those things, then you have access to intuition. So.
Oh my God. Okay. So I need to get into the next, well, a bunch of people, I'm going to just put them into one, and we'll call her Sally Beth, because a lot of people ask me this in different ways, but this is my favorite.
Okay.
Oh my God. Dear Simone, my husband always says he's using his intuition to make our family decisions. But his intuition is 95%. Okay, I'm sorry.
No,
serious stuff, Simone.
Yeah,
his intuition is 95% wrong. Mm-hmm. I don't know, Simone. I think he's not using intuition. And he's just saying that so he can do what he wants to do. Please help. Please help. She has about 18 times. Please help. But I did get varied, you know, questions on this, meaning people say, oh, yeah, I'm using my intuition. This is my intuition. But it's taking them down the wrong road. Like the one mother said, I told my son, please stop. Just don't ever use your intuition.
Yeah. So good questions, guys. Here's what's important to recognize is as you start to master this, you start to get really clear about the difference between intuition and wishful thinking and intuition and what you think is right for everybody else around you.
Yeah.
Because intuition, hear this, intuition creates win-win situations for everybody. Intuition, when you're following your intuition, it isn't going to make you the winner and somebody else a loser. When you're using your intuition, it's going to be a creative environment and a scenario that's a win for you and a win for everybody else.
Ooh, that's huge. Wait a minute. So it's not, say that one more time, Simone. I want them to really get that one.
When you're using your intuition, it creates win-win situations. So it's going to be a win for you and it's going to be a win for whomever you're in partnership with. It's if you're an entrepreneur, it's going to be a win for you and your business. It's going to be a win for your employees and your customers. If you're in a family, it's going to be a win for you and it's going to be a win for your kids and a win for your spouse. It's not my way or the highway, because your intuition is going to take into consideration everybody that's involved in the scenario. So let's take
that's
it out
huge.
Of it. It's massive.
Yeah.
And that's, if you know,
yeah, let's go ahead. Sandy. Yeah. It sums up a lot, you know?
Yes. People tend to think that if I'm following my intuition, that I'm right. And it's going to disavow everybody else's opinion in the room. And that's not accurate. It's not accurate. So for example, I'm looking for a missing kid. We don't know why the kid is gone, but let's just say it's a parental abduction. Let's just say, you know, somebody has taken the kid and I have to take into back up. I have to stick to the target, but completely neutralize any idea about the perpetrator. I have to leave them out of the equation so that the highest good is in order. The kid is home. So the kid is home. That's the highest good for the kid. The parents are satisfied. That's the highest good for the parents. The police have closed their case. That's the highest good for the police. And even the perpetrator is addressed at the highest level. Now, this pisses a lot of people off because they think, well, why should I take into consideration the perpetrator? If my intuition is working, then it, you know, that perpetrator will get punished. No. Wouldn't it be better if you set up the situation where the kid for some reason is free from the perpetrator and the cops can could just come in and take him, right? So we're trying to look at intuition as a elevator for everyone involved. So, but you know, the husband is saying, oh, this is my intuition and I know that this is best and I'm not going to pay any attention to what my family wants and I'm just going to do it. That's not intuition, because intuition will not put you in that direction. Intuition operates on two pathways. The path of highest good, meaning it's going to bring you to your highest evolution, or the path of least resistance. Sometimes intuition just wham, bam, thank you, ma'am, there it's done. Boom, 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 boom. Other times it's going to stretch you. It's going to have you expand. It's going to push you into your comfort zones. It's going to ask you to do certain things that you've never done before. It's going to ask you to maybe be more generous, more patient, more, you know, fill in the blank.
Yeah.
So if you're using your intuition to impose your will, that's not intuition. Intuition doesn't impose its will. It looks at the whole picture and finds the path of least resistance and the path of highest good for everyone involved. So if you're,
that
if you're
that man.
Yeah. So if you're using intuition as a scapegoat to say, this is my intuition and I know it's best for everybody involved and it's my way or the highway, then I would say no.
So curiosity here.
Yeah.
I just was listening to, I don't know, I forget the name of the podcast, but it was talking about how you can't tap into your intuition as much when you're using technology all the time, that you're not taking time to be with yourself. Mm-hmm. And it's much more difficult because we have, I don't even know where mine is, cell phones that we carry everywhere. Mm-hmm. And that we're constantly looking at them, and it's taking us away from just being and listening and spending time with ourselves. So I wanted your opinion of that.
Well, that is accurate, but here's my perception on that. Yes, we have to be able to listen to our quiet inner voice, and that requires inner reflection, inner awareness, and yes, disconnecting from the tech. Anything that pulls you out of yourself is always beneficial. You know, go for a walk in nature, take your dog for a walk, that sort of thing. But here's my perspective on that. Remember that we talked about intuition being an evolutionary impulse, that at its foundational root, it's a survival skill. So here's what's cool about what's going on for us as a human race right now, as we are inundated with data, tech, information, experts on every corner, one business expert saying, do it this way. And then the other business expert saying, do it this way. And they're both completely different. And you're like, I don't know what to do. And you've got a 24-minute news cycle now instead of a 24-hour news cycle. And you've got all these opinions. That's information, data over, and now AI on top of that.
Yeah.
Right. So you've got all of this data in the environment, right? And it's causing analysis paralysis. It's causing overwhelm. It's causing depression. It's causing all sorts of anxiety at massive levels. But here's what's cool. The data, I call it a tsunami. It's a giant wave of data and information. Energy in the environment. Remember that our intuition is a survival mechanism. So what it will do is it feels that overwhelming energy in the environment. And because intuition is a survival mechanism, this data overload is actually, this is why I'm so excited about what's happening right now. That data overload is actually amplifying our intuition as a survival tool. So our intuition is saying, how is this vehicle, this skin suit, how is it going to survive in this tsunami of information? Okay. The brain can't cope by itself. The intellect can't function. So the intuition, the higher, the first intelligence has to come online in a really big way. So all of this data tech stuff is actually amplifying our intuition. So for me, this is a very exciting time. The information age is lighting up our intuition because it's going to be the only way we can surf that tsunami of information. So instead of letting the data shut you down and the tech shut you down, yes, absolutely. I do not, I take a good hour before I turn on my cell phone in the morning. I walk my dog, I feed my animals. You know, before I go on to any kind of tech, I just take the time to be still. And I do that several times throughout the day. I just disengage. But this data wave, our intuition is the surfboard on which we surf it. And then when you learn how to surf your surfboard, you can direct your intuition anywhere you want, you know? So yes, disconnect from tech, be mindful of how you engage, but recognize that the data is actually amplifying your intuition. Because we can't think our way out of this stuff. We have to intuit our way through it. So, yay. Get your surfboards, kids.
I love the silver lining and all that. Okay, so wait. Let me just break this down. All right, I got the part. Check out. Put your phone somewhere. Don't wake up in the morning and start right on it, right?
Mm-hmm.
I don't get up, I do my little thing with my words, I write in my journal, I play with the animals, I water my flowers, and then I go to it. And my friends do not like the fact that I do not keep my cell phone on me.
Yeah.
When I'm not working for work, it's up on the shelf, but it's good. And when I walk, I shut down, me and my dog, we have conversations. Okay.
Yeah.
But I want to go over how the intuition and the data overload is going to help us. Because what I do hear a lot, and I hear it all the time, that they do feel conflicted. Mm-hmm. For example, anything to do with body, mind, and spirit, on which way to go. Mm-hmm. Because so many of us, lovely experts, totally mm-hmm. disagree, like you said, with each other. Mm-hmm. And they feel like they're going down this path, and then they'll listen to something and go, oh my God. So can you just dive into that a little bit more? Because, well, let me just give you an example that I heard years ago, and it really helped me.
Okay.
I remember I was starting my business out. I was young. I was in my late 20s. And I was very fortunate enough, Simone. I had the most amazing mentors. So I would train them, but they were giving me all their wisdom in operating a business. I felt like I should be paying them. But And they all told me that the two things that I had going for me was, one, I was able to absorb and listen to everything and process it, but it just wasn't like, okay, that's the way I'm going to do it. I would then take it and make it my own. Mm-hmm. I would listen to them, I would take it all in, and then I would make it my own. Mm-hmm. The second thing is I did spend time with myself. You know, I would go off away from everyone to tune out the noise. Mm-hmm. And then with a decision. And those, you know, I think they were two of my valuable skills. But the thing that I remember them saying, and I don't even remember which one said, they're like, Sandy, you look at this situation in business, and there's probably 66 or plus more ways to get you where you want to go. You know, where there's not just one.
Nope.
And all 66 of your mentors could tell you, and it would all be awesome and amazing, and also the same, vice versa, not be awesome and amazing. You have to pick one that feels right for you and go down. So I don't know if that has anything to do with all this information overload, but for me, it's the same thing. I feel like it's not just one way for me to be healthy, body, mind, or spirit. And I pick ones, I don't know if it's a path of least resistance, or they bring me a lot of peace, love, and joy. Mm-hmm. And have fun doing that way versus when I hear people say the only way to get in shape is this program. I'm like, oh my God.
Run.
Because as a health club, I used to say to them, no, there's so many ways even, you know, to feel good and be in shape. You should enjoy it and be having fun with it. Now, the fun for you is feeling like you can't, you know, crawl off the floor after the workout, then that's good because that's what you want, but it's not necessary. So anyhow,
that's right.
I hope you can unpack that, but that's how I feel. And that information when I was in my late 20s served me well.
Absolutely. So you were using your intuition there, right? So you were taking data from your mentors.
Yeah.
And you were processing it through your intuitive awareness. But you also had targets established. You had an idea of what you wanted to shape with a business. You had
I knew where I wanted to go with the business.
So you had your target established, and you were gathering data from the informational field from your mentors, and you were processing that through your intuitive equipment. And then you picked one that was correct for you.
Correct.
Was right for you. This is why I say it's important as people just living life or as entrepreneurs to set your own trends instead of following them. Right, because we've got a lot of well-meaning people in our world, right. Coaches, mentors, YouTube gurus, our parents, our friends, our family, and they're all peeping in our ear. They're all saying, "Hey, you should do it this way. You should do it that way. You should do it my way. You should do it Oprah's way. You should." And anytime I hear the word "should," I go, "Uh-uh." That's also not an intuitive direction. Your intuition does not should on you. It doesn't say you should have done it this way or you should do it this way. Again, think of it like the GPS in your car. You were talking to all of your mentors. And let's just say in this context, your goal was to get from Philly to San Francisco. Philly to LA, because I'm in LA. And you were getting all of these directions from your friends saying, oh, you should go to LA, go this way, go through take Route 66. Oh, no, no, no. I think she should take the 15 to the 10 and go through Death Valley. And so there's all of these lovely people telling you where to go. And you use your GPS, you punch in your directions, and you go your way. You still get to LA because there's a bazillion ways to get there. Yeah. But you go the way that is most aligned with you, that is most in your wheelhouse, that speaks most to your skill sets, that speaks most to your preferences, you know? And that becomes a real great gift. And then you can gracefully say, thank you so much for your opinion. I'm going to go in and I'm going to check this first. And I'm going to take advice and guidance from this, my inner nature. And I'll meet you in LA. You can go your way. I'll go mine and I'll meet you there. Right? No harm, no foul. I'll see you there. So it lets us off the hook of thinking there's only one way to do it, because there's not. There's infinite ways to build a business. There's infinite ways to shape a healthy body. There's infinite ways to be in a relationship. There's, you know, so that's the fun of intuition. And it is just like the GPS in your car. It's not going to shame you. And it's not going to say, oh, I'm sorry, you took a wrong turn, you suck. It's just not going to do that.
Yeah.
So what that reveals to you is you were taking all of that data information and processing it through your own internal higher wisdom. And then you chose your path.
Yeah.
But that's a superpower.
That makes me feel better about the information overload. So I'm just doing right now as you're speaking, Simone, I'm just changing the dialogue in my head to say, isn't this amazing that we have all this information at our fingertips? Isn't it amazing I can tap in and tune in so quickly to all this information? I'm deciding what I want to use of it.
Yeah. Well, that's why your targets are so important, right? I hear a lot of people, especially in sort of the spiritual communities, that say, I'm just going to let the universe decide because I don't know how to trust my intuition. I'm just going to let the universe decide. And I go, oh, do not. Your capacity to choose is a superpower. Your capacity to say, this is what I'm, and people say, well, I don't know what I want. Okay. What do you want? Do you want health? Do you want wealth? Do you want security? Do you want stability? Do you want, what do you want? I don't know. Well, you better frickin' pick. Or here's what happens when we don't pick. We get the law of averages, because the subconscious mind, the collective subconscious at its core, is a little wonky right now. So if you don't make a conscious choice, you pick free will, set a target, free will, you'll get the law of averages of the collective.
That's not good.
No, it's a train wreck. Don't do it. So you have to pick.
All right, you need to break down, because there's some people that go, what the heck is she talking about right now? So
remember, we're swimming in an information field, right? There's all of this data all around us.
Yeah.
It's not just what we see on our computers. It's carried in the field. It's an energetic frequency. Just how are you getting Wi-Fi? You know, there's a wave function in the air that hits your computer. Your computer picks that up and it translates it into stuff, right? You're swimming in a soup, a human soup of everybody's thoughts, of everybody's belief systems, of everybody's attitudes about everything. There's a bazillion little bits of data information that we're exposed to and bombarded with every second. And that's why if you're out in nature and you're with the trees and your dog and there's no people around you, it feels so nice because you're with the trees and your dog and there's not a lot of chaos there. And then you come back into the city and you're like, oh God, right? It's because now you're in the soup of the mind, the human mind. Everywhere. So if you don't choose, then you're going to gather information intuitively, because listen, your intuition is working whether you believe you have it or not.
Yeah.
If you train it like a muscle, it'll get you to the frickin' life Olympics. But if you're just letting it be flabby, you'll get couch potato intuition. you'll get the law of averages that everybody else is using, because we're all swimming in this field of energy and information. And whoever has the strongest choice point, the strongest target, is going to then start to influence the field around them. So if you do not make a strong choice, you will intuit what sort of everybody else is doing. And for some people, what everybody else is doing is not ideal for them. But if you start to make strong choices, I always like to use the analogy of every potential is available to us in the field, like a herd of 10,000 cows, every kind of cow you possibly got. And you're the cowboy sitting on the horse. And if you've ever sat on a horse, you know that a horse is higher than the rest of the cows. And the cowboy makes a choice and says, I see that brown and white cow over there. And that brown and white cow in this context might be $1 million a year business. There it is. I'm going to take my lasso and I'm going to choose that cow and I'm going to reel it in through all of the other ones. And eventually that cow comes closer to the cowboy and he's got his $1 million cow. But if you do not make that choice, you'll just sit on that frickin' horse and nothing will change. So pick something.
You know, I'm thinking of people years ago when we would talk about law of attraction, and people would think law of attraction meant you just sat there and waited for something, you know? And I'm like, what are you talking about? To me, it was completely the opposite. It was exactly what you are saying. Like, be very, very focused on what you're going after. Mm-hmm. And tap in and do everything to get there. You know, I'm not just sitting on my sofa waiting for it to come to me. Mm-mm. Same thing with the people in my life. I'm not just going, let's see who shows up today. Mm-hmm. I'm very selective.
Mm-hmm. And rightfully so, right? Because again, those who aren't in their precise awareness are going, they get very picky about the people who they allow in their wheelhouse. And this relates to, if you're a business owner, or you're a coach, you get very specific about the people that you want to coach. You get very specific about the people you partner with. You get very specific about the prices, what you charge, the rates you charge. And all of that stuff starts to become very refined. You don't get snobby. You just get particular.
There's a difference.
You know, do I want this, you know, do I want this energy in my house? And what I've always had an issue with the law of attraction as well, because again, intuitively, remembering our platform of peace, precision, and perception, it's not the law of attraction. Because if you're going into a target thinking I want to attract money, then you're starting from a position of lack. And if that's the information you're giving your intuitive mind, it's going to constantly scan for lack. I don't have any money. I need to attract it. I don't have any money. I need to attract it. I don't need to have. No, it's not going to work. What I help my entrepreneurs build is the rule of perception. It's not a law of attraction. It's the rule of perception. If I'm a receiver and a transmitter of information, how I'm aligned with a strong target, that's going to be what I perceive. The kid is home. The kid is home. And then my intuition for me starts to play like pictures in my head. I see images, right? And that's the information I give to the cops, you know, what I see in my head. So it's not the law of attraction, because then that would assume that we're trying to bring something to us that we lack, and you can't do that. You can't perceive that which you do not already have in your consciousness. Can't be done.
So I would, when I wanted to make a certain amount of money in my company, and I would go after different goals, yearly, 6 months, month, I would visualize all the abundance I had in my life in every other area of my life, so that I felt it already there. Mm-hmm. And then I would have checks I would make out to myself, so that I was already feeling
that wealth in every other area of my life, even before it was in my business. Now, I don't know why I did that, Simone. It just, it, I call it intuition. It wasn't anything. It just, it made me feel good.
Yep.
Versus talk about, I don't have money. I don't have money. I don't have money. That was just, I'm too positive a person. I just sucked wad. I didn't like the way it felt.
Yes.
It didn't feel right to me.
Yes. Yep. So that's your intuition. That's your intuition, right? Saying to you, this doesn't feel right. There's something. And so that might've been a gut instinct.
Yeah.
Saying, this doesn't feel right. So you tweaked, you adjusted until you sort of hit the flow point where you're like, there it is. There's the feel. Okay. There's the little checks. I know that it exists in this other, there's the pocket. There's the flow. Ah, okay. Stay there. That's the flow point. That's the target point. And then your intuition starts to work. It's interesting because I had a couple of very interesting conversations with some potential clients over the last few days. And when I quoted them my rate, they're like, well, can't you just give it to me? Can't you just, you know, I'll pay it forward. I'm like, no. Well, they're like, I can't afford that. And I said, that you have to stop that right there. I can't afford your rate. I can't afford your rate. Can you lower it for me? And I said, then you need to reestablish a new target. Because if you're telling yourself, I can't afford anything, whether it's my coaching rates or a cup of coffee, then that's a target. And your intuitive mind is hearing that, I can't afford it. I can't afford it. I can't afford it. I can't afford it. So your intuition, your mind is going to start to perceive things in the reality that align with, I can't afford it. You're not attracting it. You're perceiving it. Because what are you telling the radio? What are you telling the intuitive perceiver? I want to make more money, but I can't afford anything. So I need the outer world to modify itself. I need Simone to lower her rates. I need Simone to give it to me for free because I can't afford it. I'm like, nah, I'm not going to lower my average to meet yours. So this is really important when you're entrepreneuring to be very mindful of the targets you're giving your intuitive mind unconsciously. When you say something like, I can't afford it, that goes straight into the perception. And that's then what you start to see, that you can't afford things. So your bank account will go down, you know, expenses will go up, and you won't be able to afford the things you want because that's what you're telling your GPS. Mm-hmm.
So what should they say to themselves? Let's say here they are. And right now, they don't have that money in their account to afford whatever it is they want, right? They don't have, how can they refrain it so it's not coming from lack? Because you don't want to spend either, because I've seen people say that.
Yeah, you want to be mindful.
Credit card debt, you know?
Yes. You want to be very mindful. What am I telling myself? What am I telling myself? So the direction is, okay, there's billions of dollars all around me right now. Billions, right? Think of how many billions of dollars are being exchanged through the course of our conversation. Billions and billions and billions of dollars are moving right now. And so you can say to yourself, there are billions of dollars circulating all around me right now. There are billions of dollars circulating all around me right now. That's true. Now, whether or not you can perceive them, that's all up to your perception. So you can say, there are billions of dollars circulating all around me right now. And I'm open to perceiving just a bit of it. You don't need all of it. But you say, there's billions around me right now, and I'm open to perceiving it. I'm open to perceiving it. So again, go back to the missing kid. The kid is home. That's the target. So in this one, there are billions of dollars around me all the time. That's the truth. And then I say to my intuition, show me the kid. And so you're saying to your intuition now, I'm willing to perceive just a bit of it. Show it to me. Show it to me. It's there. Show it to me. It's there. Show it to me. So you're giving your intuition a powerful directive.
Yeah.
So any of you guys out there listening right now, you can honestly say there are billions of dollars circulating around you right now. We know this to be true.
Absolutely.
It's the truth. When you know the truth, here, Write this down, guys. Bumper sticker hashtag. When you know the truth, facts don't matter. When you know the truth, facts don't matter. So, missing kid, fact is the kid is missing. The truth is there's nothing lost in the intuitive mind. The universal mind knows exactly where everything is. It's like when you want to find your keys, can't find your keys. Say, I know exactly where my keys are. Boom, there, you'll find them. So when you know the truth, facts don't matter. So when you know the truth, there are billions of dollars circulating all around you right now. That's the truth. The fact of what's going on in your bank account, that doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. It may take a bit of time for it to start to change in the factual. But so you set up the truth, facts, there's billions of dollars circulating all around me at all times. And you say to your intuition, show me some of it.
Yep. And then show me some of it. I know it's there.
Yep.
That's
it's
fact.
There. Yep, yep. That's a fact. That's a fact. So the truth is, well, the truth is there's billions of dollars circulating around you and everybody has access to it. The fact might be you don't have much of that in your bank account. Yep. But when you know the truth, the facts don't matter. And that's when your intuition starts to activate. So intuitively, the kid is missing is the fact. But the truth is that the intuitive mind has access to everything. So if I know that truth to find the missing kid, then the facts don't matter. If I know the truth that there are billions of dollars circulating around me at any given moment, and I just need to focus my choice, and then can I use real language?
Yeah. Absolutely.
Then fucking own it like your hair's on fire and do not let it go. No matter what your bank account is showing you, there are billions of dollars available to me right now. Show it to me and do not move from that target. Then your intuition will start to lead you, guide you.
Gotcha. Yeah. It's totally different. Totally different feel.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And sometimes, you know, people think, oh, it needs to be soft and fluffy. Sometimes it is soft and fluffy, but other times you really got to own it. So can I give you guys another triad?
Yep, absolutely.
Okay. So, you know, we have an accuracy triad. So we have our intuition triad, peace, precision, perception, but now we're going to build one rooted on accuracy. And intuition works on three E's: elegance is the first one, efficiency is the second one, and expansion is the third one.
Okay.
Elegance, efficiency, expansion. So path of least resistance, if something is elegant, Sandy, when something feels elegant to you,
yeah,
what do you notice about when you're in a feeling of elegance, if something is elegant?
Oh, well, I stand differently. Mm-hmm. When I feel elegant, mm-hmm. I automatically act different. Mm-hmm. So when I see something that is elegant, it softens me.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know about other people, but that's what I feel.
It's mm-hmm. softening. Mm-hmm. Does elegance feel complete to you, or does it feel like it's lacking anything if something is elegant?
You know, Simone, it's not a word that most people describe me. So it's I'm trying to think. I don't know if it seems complete or not, mm-hmm. but when I think of elegant, it's others. It's not mm-hmm. me. Mm-hmm. If that, mm-hmm. And I don't mean that as a slam to myself.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Sure. Sure. Yeah.
So it's not a word I think of, except for when I see other people go, oh my God, they look so elegant. But yeah. I doubt it. Walk in and people, they might say fun, light up a room, bright light, but not elegant.
Yeah. So if we think,
what you think?
So think of the idea of elegance when we look at nature. So again, using the ideas of elegance, efficiency, and expansion. When something is elegant, it's complete without any extra bells or whistles. When something is right, you look at nature, you look at the way a horse moves, you look at the way a jaguar hunts, you look at a swan on the water. It's so elegant.
I get it. Yeah.
It's effortless.
Yeah, effortless. See, that's so different. Now I get that.
Right.
Okay. Look me there. I'm there.
Yeah. Even look at a clothing designer. Like this, when I'm working with my entrepreneurs, you know, there are clothing designers that I view as quite elegant. Ralph Lauren, Giorgio Armani, their designs are elegant. They're complete, but there's nothing extra, right?
Absolutely.
You're just like, oh, or you look at a peacock and they're just, oh, it's elegant. One extra feather would ruin it, but it's just so complete. So elegance is one of the trademarks of intuition. The second one is efficient. It doesn't send you forward 3 steps and then back 2 steps and then 16 steps to the left. It's like the GPS in your car. Go three miles, turn left, turn right, boom, boom, boom. It's efficient. Doesn't have you spin in your wheels. Then the third one is expansion. It's going, so the elegance and efficiency, that's the path of least resistance. That's the fluffy, oh, this feels good. This is nice. This is flowy. But then there's the expansive part. It's going to invite you to push beyond boundaries. It's going to invite you to do stuff you've never done before. It's going to invite you to take risks. It's going to invite you to let go of the stuff that's not working in your world anymore. And that can be scary. You're like, I don't want to.
Yeah.
I don't wanna, because that feels weird. So if you're noticing in your intuitive practice that the stuff that used to be working before in your world, elegance and efficiency, isn't working anymore, and you're noticing this expansion, you go, cool, do that stuff that's saying, you know, step into this new realm. I have a lot of entrepreneurs who are coming to me who are coming out of corporate and starting their own businesses, and they're like, my intuition is telling me to dump all my old stuff and it's scaring the crap out of me. I'm like, that's expansion. Cool. Cool. Right.
Yeah.
So where the expansion piece comes in is where the fear comes in. And that's where most people tank. That's where most people come apart. They're like, I can't be trusting my intuition because it's asking me to do something I've never done before. Hey.
Yeah.
Right. That's how you set a trend, you know, a new trend.
Got it.
How do I know I'm on track? Elegance and efficiency. Cool. If those are running, great. Keep doing that. But then if you start to feel the expansion, what's going to happen is when you step into expansion, the stuff that used to be elegant and efficient isn't going to work anymore. Have you noticed that in your business when you grow, that the systems that you use to take you to a certain level won't get you to the next level?
Yeah, you just throw them out the window.
Yeah, you throw them out the window. Mm-mm. Because when you're growing, when you're expanding, you need to develop systems that serve that expansion. So can I give you guys an example of one of my entrepreneurs who came to me a few years ago? His business was doing 40 million a year. That's a nice nut, right? 40 million.
Cool. I was like, I'll take it.
But his goal, his target was $1 billion business.
Okay.
Okay. So I'm like, okay, doable. Absolutely.
Yeah.
So we had to set some pretty strong targets, again, around time, ideas, and money. And over the course of 3 years together, we took his $40 million a year business to $200 million over the course of 3 years, 5 times rooted in this. He's still shaping $1 billion business. Absolutely. That's going to take a little bit more time. But what was important to recognize was the systems that served his $40 million a year business in the expansion didn't work anymore. He had to systemize new, he had to develop new systems of elegance and efficiency so he could expand. And then as we move to $1 billion business, the stuff that was elegant and efficient at the $200 million mark isn't going to, you're going to have to up-level those things to get to the other expansion. So think of it, Amazon, you know, started in a garage. The systems that Bezos used in his garage when Amazon started aren't the systems he's using now.
Absolutely not. That'd be bad. Yeah.
That'd be bad. So when you're growing as an entrepreneur or in any level of your business or any level of life, there's going to be an expansion metric that's going to feel weird. But if you have the courage to let your intuition guide you into what it's showing you based on your targets, and you can hold that discomfort long enough, you'll break through into back into the elegance and efficiency, but at a higher level. Gotcha. At a higher level. Does this make sense, Sandy?
Yeah, it does. It does make sense.
It's like breaking the sound barrier. When the first pilots, Chuck Yeager, broke the sound barrier, which is 752 miles an hour, six pilots before Chuck Yeager broke the sound barrier died trying to break the sound barrier. Because every time they would get to the Mach 1, which is 752 miles an hour, the jet that they were in would start to shake. And the instrumentation would freak out. And so those pilots would pull back on the throttle. They'd pull back. And the second they did that, the jets exploded. Every single time. So Chuck Yeager, it's his turn. He's like, oh, crap. All of these guys died. This doesn't look so good for me. But intuitively, he's got his target. I got to break the sound barrier, because the only way we're going to get into space is to be able to break. We got to be able to break Mach 1, Mach 2, Mach 3. So he gets into the jet. He hits that same threshold of 752 miles an hour. And the same thing happens. The jet starts to come apart. And his intuition says, do not pull back on the throttle. Give it more gas. And so he did. Throttle up. Ooh, goose pimples. Throttle up. And he blew through the sound barrier. Oh, sonic boom, Mach 1. And then several weeks later, Mach 2. Several weeks later, Mach 3. So the growth became exponential, right? And so now we're doing Mach 9, Mach 10. We're getting to space because of that. When we start to meet expansion, it's going to be like Chuck Yeager in the cockpit of that jet. Shit. And most people will go, no, I'm going to pull back.
Yeah, I get it.
So when he expanded, he gave it gas, and then poof, he popped through the sound barrier, and he was back into smooth sailing. He was back into elegance and efficiency. And then he's like, okay, Mach 2, what's going to happen? Same thing. Every time your intuition leads you to breaking a threshold, it's going to feel like shit. Sorry.
Yeah.
But your intuition is going to say, keep going, keep going. Do not turn back. Do not look back. Keep going. Hold your target. Hold your target. And then eventually you'll break through it. And you're like, ooh, that was kind of fun. I think I peed my pants a little bit, but that was kind of fun.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, Simone, I love talking to you, and we're out of time, and we even went over, and I'm like, oh, I'm sorry. I could talk to you forever. I love this conversation.
Well, glad to come back.
At least we scratched the surface.
Yes.
We didn't get to all the questions, but that's okay. But before we go, is there any last words of wisdom that you want to get in to my Let's Keep It Real people?
Yeah. Let's keep it real. Destiny isn't random. This is one of my quotes. Destiny isn't random, nor is it fate. It's determined by choice and guided by wisdom, trust, and courage. And your intuition is the voice of that. So destiny isn't random, nor is it fate. It's guided by choice and led by wisdom, trust, and courage. And your intuition is the voice of that. So when you make a choice, and you can say to yourself, I don't know how intellectually I'm going to do it, but this is my target. $1 million a year business. I don't know what that's going to look like. I don't know how I'm going to do it. But I'm doing it. And then you say to your intuition, show me how. Show me the path. And then do it.
Love it.
Yeah.
I love it. It's a good thing to end on. All right, my Let's Keep It Real people. Thank you so much. You know how much I love you. I keep telling you that all the time. I'm sending you so much peace, love, and joy. And Simone and I would greatly appreciate you sharing, liking it, and rating it. You know there are so many people that will benefit from this episode. But before we go, you know what I'm going to say. Thanks, Simone, and toodles.
Thanks for listening. Be sure to share and subscribe if you enjoyed the show. And remember, keep spreading the positive.